Good morning, friends. Welcome to morning worship. We open our worship by singing to God's praise hymn number 42, Only on God Do Thou My Soul. 42. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who hold him in honour. Let us pray. Eternal God, we bow before your divine majesty. We worship you, Lord of heaven and earth, in whom everything finds its origin, its continuing life and its ultimate end. Glory be to our God for ever. Lord, it is from you alone that we receive the power to pray. You readily pour out your spirit of grace upon those who call on you. Be with us now, and as we seek to come to you in prayer, let our hearts be warm with the warmth of your love. Let our minds be attentive to your word, so that we may worship you as Jesus directs, in spirit and in truth. We bring our life to you, Lord, with all its impurities. When we've let the temptations of life get the better of us, when we've failed to produce good fruit through not abiding in the true vine, forgive us for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son. Cleanse our life and grant us the strength which of ourselves we do not have, strength to overcome the temptations of the way, to persevere in doing what we know to be right. Make us glad to be Christian and better able to live as Christians through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever. Amen. Hymn 153, Great is Thy Faithfulness, 153.
Thank you.
We read God's word in the New Testament, the second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 11, at verse 19. 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 19. You gladly put up with fools, since you are so wise. In fact, you even put up with anyone who enslaves you or exploits you or takes advantage of you or pushes himself forward or slaps you in the face. To my shame, I admit that we were too weak for that. What anyone else dares to boast about, I am speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. And in Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, at verse 4. Luke chapter 8, verse 4. While a large crowd was gathering, and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he had said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. And the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. Hymn number 327, Brightest and Best, 327.
Thank you.
Luke's Gospel, chapter 8 and verse 11, the seed is the Word of God. I don't know what you think, but it seems to me to have been a long winter. We must be heading for the spring soon, although most days still it doesn't feel very like it. But surely it was on a spring day that Jesus delivered this parable which we were reading just now, the parable of the sower. More than one commentator has suggested that when Jesus was speaking to the crowd, he saw a sower actually at work in a field. That sounds very feasible. And if that was the case, then we can assume that it was springtime, the time of the year for sowing. Oh, modern-day farming is a bit different. Some crops are sown nowadays at different times of the year. But with the New Testament, and in the time of Jesus' earthly life, I'm sure we can say sowing was a springtime activity. Anyway, there was this sower in the field. And Jesus drew the people's attention to him and went on to give them this parable. It's a parable which maybe we already know very well. We've heard it and read it often. But it's always worthwhile to come back to such a passage, and very often we find it still has something new to tell us. This parable is sometimes referred to as the parable of the seed or the parable of the soil. And both of those titles make sense because it's about the seed and what happens to it when it's sown. It's about the different kinds of soil into which the seed falls and the effect those different kinds of soil have on the seed. So call it what we will, there is this parable which Jesus told. He told it, as ever, to illustrate a point. In this case, to show how different kinds of mind treat the Word of God differently. Four kinds of soil are mentioned. Some seed, Jesus says, fell by the wayside, on a pathway, that is. In those days, common ground was divided into narrow strips. Between the strips of soil, there were pathways, which were rights of way. So the pathways were well trodden by human feet and were therefore beaten hard. Seed which fell there would have no chance of sinking into the soil and taking root. It would just lie there, visible to all and sundry, and eventually the birds would come and eat it. Then there was the rocky ground, ground with only a thin layer of soil covering a hard bed of rock. There the seed would sink in, but it would not be able to put down roots very far. There would be no moisture to speak of, nothing to feed the growing seed. So it wouldn't last long there. It would soon die off. The third kind of soil into which the seed fell was the soil with a lot of thorns or weeds in it. The thorns and weeds might not be obvious at the time of sowing, but the roots would be there, and they would grow up along with the grain. They would choke the grain, prevent it from developing properly. The good ground, on the other hand, would receive the seed and allow it to put down roots and obtain nourishment and grow and produce grain. The harvest it produced would be out of all proportion to the amount of seed which was sown. That is the parable, more or less, as Jesus told it. His disciples were amongst those who heard it, and they asked him afterwards about the meaning. So Jesus said to them, "The seed is the Word of God." The sower, therefore, may be thought of as God himself, or the person delivering the message of God's Word, whoever that may be at any given time. The different kinds of soil represent the different kinds of mind in the people who receive God's Word. Jesus implied that all those different kinds of mind were to be found amongst the people of his time. And I think we can safely say those kinds of mind are still to be found amongst people today. There was a stage in my life when I could not help being aware of all the latest pop records. Which was top of the pops this week? How many weeks it had succeeded in staying at the top? As I remember it, none of them stayed at the top for very long. That's pop music, isn't it? The essence of it is novelty, something new, something different. It can't remain new or different for very long. Before long, something else will come along and take its place. There's nothing wrong with that. But the kind of mind which is always craving something new, that is another matter. If we have a mind like that, we're not going to take in God's message when it comes to us. We're not going to concentrate on it or give it any serious thought. It may have come to us as something new and fresh, but with that kind of mind, we're soon going to be attracted by something else. We don't take the time and make the effort to appreciate the intrinsic value of what we've heard. If it attracts us at all, it's only because of the novelty, a quality which in the nature of things can't last long. So our mind becomes like a hard beaten path. When the message of God comes to such a mind, it doesn't penetrate. It just lies there until something else comes and takes its place. Like seed falling on the hard pathway, eaten up by the birds before long. Jesus then likens the rocky ground to the mind which has no great depth. This kind of mind probably welcomes God's message, maybe with some degree of enthusiasm, but there's no depth, no source of nourishment for the message. So the message can't put down deep roots, and in the short term it dies for want of sustenance. People from time to time conducting evangelistic campaigns have seen this kind of thing. Some of those who attend the meetings receive the message with enthusiasm, but a week or two later, where are they? Are they getting established in a congregation of the church, benefiting from interaction with other Christians? Some of them, maybe. Others, though, have drifted off, unable to take God's message to themselves and put it to work in their day-to-day life. It soon becomes for them as though they'd never heard God's message. It's not had a chance to make any real difference in their life. Perhaps the most common of the obstacles encountered by the seed when it's sown is the weeds and thorns. I had a cousin who had obtained a qualification in some branch of agriculture. He once saw me digging the garden and painstakingly extracting all the weeds. "Don't bother to pull them out," he said. "Dig a deep trench. The first line of digging you do, make that very deep, and yes, pull the weeds out of that line. But every line from then on, just turn the weeds over as you dig and bury them in the deep trench. There the weeds will just die out." But they didn't die out. Oh, the green shoots of them faded, certainly, but they still had their roots and their creeping tendrils, and those weeds came up again. So it was impossible to get anything else to grow in that piece of ground. The weeds and thorns choke the seed and prevent it from growing. The mind which is taken up with many things so that God's message gets crowded out and is not able to produce the effect in human conduct which it's intended to produce. Oh, the things which find their way into our life and tend to choke out God's message. One of Mrs. Hebbenton's sisters lived for quite a while where she and her husband did not have a garden. And then they moved to a different house where there was a garden, and she developed a very keen eye for weeds. She would spot them if they were there at all, and if she saw even a single one, she would endeavour to pull it out. Some of the weeds which get into our life are easily enough recognisable, and we know we ought to get rid of them. But some things, on the other hand, are quite plausible, quite respectable, good in themselves. Those are the things which can insidiously take over our mind and take over our life and crowd out the message of God. We have to be constantly on the watch. There is, of course, the good ground, representing the mind and heart which receive the word of God and allow it to take root and find nourishment and grow and produce a worthy yield. How do we achieve that kind of mind? How do we make sure God's message to us is not falling by the wayside or on rocky ground or among the many things which can crowd it out? Well, it is a constant task. We can never say we've finished the task of clearing our mind and heart and making ourselves the kind of people in whom God's message can flourish. It is a constant challenge. So we have to remain constantly on the watch. Only with the help of the Lord can we keep on top of that particular job. So God has given us his Son. The Lord Jesus Christ not only sets us the task of keeping our life aware and receptive to God's word, he journeys through life with us to help us at every step. The seed is the word of God. May God help us to keep our mind and heart in condition to receive it, so that we may continually bear fruit worthily for him in every day's life. And now to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory, now and forevermore. Amen. We worship God in presenting our offering. Hymn number 512, To God Be the Glory, 512.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O Lord, our God, it is from you that we receive both our gifts and the power to give. Grant that the offerings which we bring to you may be used for your glory. Grant us the grace to offer to you all that we have, our time, our abilities, our possessions, to be used as you direct. Lord, we give you thanks. You have created us in your own image. You have given us souls to know and love you. You have supplied our needs and do constantly supply them in all our journey through life. Goodness and mercy follow us all our days, and our cup runs over. There have been difficult times in our life, O God, times when it was difficult for us to go on believing and trusting in you, our God, and you have helped us through. There have been times when we were difficult, following the desires of our own hearts, and you have sought us out and won us back to yourself and raised us and given us again the dignity of men and women. Most of all, we thank you for the saving of the world in the Lord Jesus Christ, his life, his teaching, his suffering, his death, his resurrection, his ascension to your right hand, his coming with power, and his continued presence with us. Help us always to be faithful followers of Jesus. Give us the courage to go where he leads, to attempt what he calls upon us to do for you, our God. We pray for the church. Help your people everywhere to remember that belonging to our Lord is more important than belonging to any congregation or any denomination of the church. We reach beyond the church in prayer and pray for the whole world. Let your light shine in the dark places of the world. Let your word be heard everywhere, in lands where your name is not recognized, in this and other lands where the weeds and thorns grow up along with your word and threaten to choke it. Lord, you see the suffering, the injustice, and the misery which are in this world. We pray for your people and ask you to bless and help them. Look on those who have not enough of this world's goods, and those who carry the burdens of wrongdoing, of overwork, of sorrow. Help us to have real compassion for those who suffer, and to spend ourselves in helping where help is needed. Lord, this world and this human life are the bounds of our consciousness and our thinking. But we know in our hearts that your dominion extends beyond. We thank you for those who have gone before us into the great beyond, for their record of service, their faithfulness to the end. Grant us the grace to follow their example and to live so as to be ready for the great beyond when you call us to it. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Friends, there is today an important statement from ASFACT, which is to be read to us. And their representative, Carol Boyd, is here to read the statement to us. I invite you now, Carol, to come forward.
Good afternoon, everybody, and thanks for having me here today. This statement I'm reading is on behalf of ASFACT and Centre Stage Communities. To the Ardair and Stevenson communities, as you already know, ASFACT and Centre Stage have been working in partnership now for almost a year. We are delighted and excited to announce that both Carol, the project development worker for ASFACT, and all its services will be moving to the new Centre Stage community premises in Ardair. Carol, working for Centre Stage Communities, will continue to work full-time from the Centre Stage premises from the 2nd of April 2015, and the office will be based in Somerville Drive in Ardair. Carol will continue to offer the wide range of services that are currently in place, including Seashells, Monday Group, Befriending Service, Food Bank, as well as the Advice and Information Service. As with all Centre Stage services, we will now operate these from either the Centre Stage office in Ardair, Ardair Community Centre, or local venues as and when required. New services such as Zumba classes, cooking classes, and family walking groups, to name but a few, will be added to the already existing Centre Sage services. Please feel free to contact Carol at any point by phone, email, or Facebook. We would like to take this opportunity to thank our dear parish church and its elders for accommodating and hosting ASFACT and its services over the last 3 years. And more importantly, we'd like to thank them all for their support during this period. We will, of course, keep you updated over the next few weeks and look forward to seeing you at some of our services in the near future. We are looking forward to developing the next phase of services and activities in our Ardair and Stevenston area. The trustees of ASFACT would like to take this opportunity to wish Carol, Centre Stage, and all the children and families all the very best in this new venture. And this statement is on behalf of Robert McMillan, Chairperson of ASFACT, and Fiona McKenzie, CEO of Centre Stage Communities. Thank you for your time this afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol. And now we close this service by singing hymn 557, O Love That Wilt Not Let Me Go, 557. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always.